the same asylum with Giuseppe the G-Man.
We must secure the existence of our people in a future for white children. Because the beauty of the white Aryan woman must not perish from the earth.
The silicon chip inside her head gets switched to overload. And nobody's gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays.
Tell me why.
I don't like Mondays. I wanna shoot. Ooh. The whole day down.
Welcome to the Based Monday Sane Asylum.
Under the sidewalks, where the cocks burrow. throw them in the fire.
Hi boys, I have a question for the men. What the fuck do you want?
What if I told you that the majority of Congress right now is Chinese, and that 90-something percent of the porn industry is controlled by the Chinese, and that almost every major feminist leader is Chinese, and that almost every single gun control law that's been put into place was put in place by a Chinese politician? Wouldn't you be like, holy shit, are these motherfuckers trying to take us over? I think so. I think we gotta do something about the Chinese now. Yeah, sure, that's the conclusion. Duh. Okay, fine. Let's go fucking hunt these fuckers down and get them out of our fucking country, right? Simple. Okay. But as soon as I say Jew, you know, I mean, this is the kind of situation that we're dealing with, guys. It's a programming issue. And you've got to move beyond it. And you have to see them as an enemy that must be destroyed. And it's really that simple.
this lion. He's the king of the jungle. Huge mane out there. He's laying down under a tree in the middle of Africa. He's so big. He's so hot. He doesn't want to move. Now, the little lion comes. They start messing with him. Biting his tail, biting his ears. He doesn't do anything. The lioness, she starts messing with him. Coming over, making trouble. Still, nothing. Now, the other animals, they notice this. And they start to move in. The jackals. Hyenas. They're barking at him, laughing at him. They nip his toes and eat the food that's in his domain. They do this, and they get closer and closer and bolder, till one day, that lion gets up and tears the shit out of everybody, runs like the wind, eats everything in his path. Because every once in a while, the lion has to show the jackals who he is.
White America, wake the fuck up. White America, wake the fuck up.
Welcome to episode number 213 of the Based Monday Sane Asylum. I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. And Jared Taylor's right. It really is time for white Americans to wake the fuck up. And what a banner show we have today. Let me bring on co-host Paul from California, co-host Davis Lehrman, and our honored guest, the legendary, courageous white nationalist, Alex Lindner. So welcome, everybody. And I'm glad to have such a stellar crew here today for the show. It always makes for a great discussion. So let's start out with you, Paul, your opening thoughts. Then we'll go to Davis, and then we'll go to our honored guest, Alex Lindner. So go ahead, Paul.
Well, once again, you keep outdoing yourself with your intro clips. Probably one of the best, if not the best I've seen, with "We're going to stomp some Jews Electric Avenue." God, that was great. I mean, the creativity of, if we could just put these ideas in action. The other thing I'll say before we come back to me after you go around, because we do want to send off Black History Month in style and a couple other things I spoke to you about.
Right.
That Christopher Walken clip, what it reminds me of, I watch all these nature clips, all these animal clips. I just love them in general. And just last week, I saw this one on Africa I had not seen before, and there's a male lion, regular size male lion, just hanging out, just kicking back in the sun. He's not really totally napping, but he's just obviously resting. And pretty soon, he gets surrounded by all these hyenas, and a couple of them come up kind of close, try to maybe sniff them a little bit, just test them. They're coming within maybe 3-4 feet, but none of them are going to get that close, and they're not attacking him. And it doesn't take long before there's at least 7 or 8 or more, could be as many as 10, but he's surrounded by 7, 8 or more of these hyenas, and they're not doing nothing. And then pretty soon they all walk away. And it just reminded me when I saw one time one of these documentaries about lions and hyenas, and everybody knows they're fairly they're like mortal enemies for the most part. Right. Is with one good bite, a lion can dispatch a hyena. If he gets him in the right spot, just like one good bite and shake, and that hyena is done. And they probably all know it. And it's kind of like probably the reason they maybe didn't choose to gang attack him is because, well, which one of us is going to get killed? So anyway, just my thoughts for the moment.
Great point. Welcome, other co-host Davis Lehrman. How looks like you were replugging your mic. Are you there, Davis? Well, let's move on to the honored guest, the legendary Alex Lindner. Welcome, Alex. And what is your opening thoughts today?
my opening thoughts. I'm kind of brainless at the moment. I'm looking at the Bitcoin thing being very high again. And that's interesting. I saw the U.S. government has something like $175 trillion liabilities it can't pay.
Right.
So, you know, gold also all-time high. So I guess economic stuff is mildly interesting to me this morning. But never FOMO, don't fear. Don't buy out of fear. Do it steadily if you're going to do it.
Sure.
Just acquire assets and control your consumption. That's my message to the people out there today. Also, get rid of Jews controlling your central bank.
Yeah, man, isn't that the case? Isn't that the case?
Yeah.
Well, it's good crazy. To be here, man. That's it's great to have you, Alex.
So the other guy got his mic?
I was just going to ask, Davis Lerman, are you there now, working functional?
He's not related to Boz Lerman, is he?
No, we'll have to ask him when his mic's working for sure. And everybody, if I don't know if you know from previous shows, but Alex's daily news update is Kirksville, like Captain Kirk, K-I-R-K, with an S, Kirks, V-I-L-E, today.com. And Alex does a
yeah, daily digest from a white point of view. Kirks, like, ultimately means church. It's Scottish word, Scottish people settled, a Scotch-Irish type. Kirksville, yeah, northeastern Missouri, but daily awesome. Digest from the white point of view. If you want to see what all is going on, and I have a sort of a interpretation of it.
And real quickly, Alex, I thought I would add to your thought about this, however many arbitrary number of trillions of debt we're not going to be able to pay, nor should we, because it's all made up bullshit. I think that it's time for us to, quote, in our imagination here, when we take over, to basically nullify the so-called debt and do a reset. Reset here and then reset the world.
Well, I would agree, but I would say the very interesting thing is you've got all these people hyper-concerned about morality, and you take something. It doesn't even have to be Bitcoin. I'm not a Bitcoin guy, really, a Bitcoin or anything else, where you have a technical progress that actually creates moral progress. And comparatively, no one is interested in it because everyone benefits from dishonest money. At least everybody in the government benefits from dishonest money.
What a great point.
It really is. And if you go into the people who talk about Bitcoin, since the price is going down as often as it's going up, all they have to do is dig into the philosophy of it. When you take that 100, half the people have an IQ under 100. When you put in a system where they're stealing from you on the tax side and they're stealing from you on the printing money side, these people are left bereft. They can't figure it out. We had a guy in a much more intelligent age, say not one in a thousand, could understand where inflation was coming from. Hence, it was the perfect way to steal. And that was long before the digital age, even before the electric age, I think. So right. The average person is in something. He literally does not have the brains to understand. All he knows is he's working harder than ever, and he's got less to show for it, and costs are going up way more than his nominal increase in his salary. So, I mean, this is animal abuse almost.
Yeah.
People, and it right. really is. It really is. Yeah. I mean, because if you have IQ that's comfortably higher, yeah, you can cope with it. But even for high IQ people, this is very darn hard not to get ground under the wheel. The only people who are getting rich are the people at the extreme top. And the 1% who are basically Jews, their cronies, and a few corrupt politicians who work with them, and everybody else is getting absolutely screwed. And so, you always want to be careful in saying, first, we need an all-white nation. That is number one. That is the foundation of successful nation is racial loyalty. Jews have proved that. That's the foundation of their success. It would be the foundation of our success if we realized race at its true value. But Christianity and other political things talk against that because they love abstraction and individualism, what have you. But racial loyalty and racial unity in a monoracial nation is the starting point. But after that, if there was one technical thing you could do, it'd be to have money that cannot be fucked with. And believe me, white men are going to steal nearly as much as Jews would. You're going to have corrupt people go right to the top and keep printing money and deficit spending and all that as a thousand different names. So if you have something like Bitcoin where there's an absolute limit to the number of, to the amount of money, 21 million, why then everything, all of a sudden you restore moral certainty. And you can say to the half of the population with an IQ under 100, if you work and you act right in these ways and you save money, you will get ahead. No matter how dumb you are, all you have to do is the right thing. You can't say that to people today. And so pardon me, it's devolved into just an overall grab all. And, you know, people are just like, hey, every other ethnic group and sexual perversity is getting, Jews most of all are getting all this free money that's taken from whites who earned it. Well, I'm going to grab my share. And why wouldn't people think like that? It's completely defensible.
I've known people that think it's not even
an ideal. It's completely possible. And no one talks about it, the moral revolution it would cause, because you wouldn't be able to it's kind of like almost in a way, you know how you see all the rich people go over to Dubai, right?
Right.
And like in Japan, you can just leave something anywhere and no one's going to steal it. Well, why in Dubai? They're not a high trust people. Muslims and brown skins aren't high trust. Well, because they know there's absolute consequences. Like, you're literally going to get your hand chopped off or killed if you steal something. So that's what it takes to control browns. Same thing in El Salvador, right? But I'm saying among whites, just imagine if you couldn't cheat on the money, government, nearly everything it funds is destructive. It couldn't fund any of that if it had to raise the money legitimately.
Well, so just quick, yeah. So quickly, Alex. So this reminds me of so many talks I've heard and so much of what I've read about money and the so-called founding fathers, the Constitution, and so forth. It's why they hated paper money. And you know, the idea, I mean, paper money, I think, can be properly regulated, especially if it's backed. But no, this is why they only wanted actual metals to be money. And of course, they put that in the so-called Constitution, but it doesn't matter because
over time, and what do they always say? Like the 1800s, there wasn't really any inflation because, like you said, it was tied to gold and the rest of this. There are different ways to do it. But once you remove any kind of a market, they also let banks fail back then. They don't fail now. They just close. Right. They're bailed out or they're closed and bought up. And ultimately, they're completely centralizing all the credit and the money printing power out of the Federal Reserve. And ultimately, that they back then, they used to talk about how that favored essentially New York over Main Street USA and the small towns and people not being able to get credit. Now, unless you satisfy conditions set in Washington, you can't go into your local bank and get a loan, even if you have the collateral for it, because you have to produce paperwork that the feds in D.C. say is okay. Right. So there's a completely centralized it. But you could have various competing forms of money, but if you had something that was absolutely nailed down.
Well, you could have competing forms of banknotes, and that actually was a reality back in the 1800s. But I think the fundamental problem is this, and I mean, I don't think I'm alone in feeling this or stating this, that white people in general are honorable, okay, in general. I mean, my experience in life has shown this. Sure, there's always going to be some scumbags and some thieves. And in the past, you know, they were dealt with, right? I mean, they used to hang horse thieves. You know, they used to hang cattle thieves and so forth. That's all we really need to do is the majority are honorable. We'll do the right thing. Giuseppe, I know we've talked all his life. He was an honest, honorable guy. You, Alex, were probably an honest, honorable guy and so on. But what we've done is we've given our financial system over, the so-called creation of money, to the most scandalous, the most criminal, the most deceptive, the most thieving, and of course also it just so happens to be the most murderous people the world has ever known. It's total insanity. And like I said, I don't know how the pitchforks and the torches didn't come out after the Federal Reserve Act was passed, because people wrote about it and spoke about it at the time. They knew what it was, and it's just inaction that's our enemy. Inaction. Go ahead.
You are right on the individual level, but if you're going to give, you're saying with this money you can print money and spend it, very, very few people would refrain from that. That's not a Jew thing or a race thing. That's just every race would be the same, and that's what central banking essentially is. And you have loads of people, and I'm leaving Jews aside, in the white population who have crank ideas that will never survive in any kind of market. They have to collect, and as you get a progressively larger government. The reason the USA was comparatively free and the money worked fairly well in the 1800s was if you went, you know, if you invested in the wrong bank or the wrong money, you could be burned, but it didn't burn everybody else. Now it's all tied together. The government is 100 times larger than it ever was. And so it's not just even a neutral thing. The larger government is, the more the people who are perverts, criminals, or have crank ideas and defectives find that, hey, this is way better than working a private job where you got to produce something. I'm going to work for the government. I can't get fired. I can get my money guaranteed paid for, and that in itself has a ratchet effect in making it worse and worse. And then, of course, you throw in the increasing numbers of the colored population and the open borders. And, you know, God, I saw a black guy on YouTube in the last week, Chicago, talking about how they're giving 9,000 worth of various vouchers to Venezuelans. So they're all calling their relatives to tell more of them to come up.
Oh, yeah. No, so
it's just, the simple fact of giant government in itself, apart from any race, will make things worse and worse. I'm talking about a technical constraint is when the money supply is absolutely limited and they can't print more, because everything they've done has been Keynesianism, and the 20th century has been printing more money to fund wars externally and wars internally on the white population and use the white population abroad for the Jew agenda. Well, they couldn't pay the army if they weren't just printing the money out of thin air. Why do, and like you said, why do we allow them to do this? It's absolutely insane. If we started from a racial angle, we wouldn't allow our race to be used by other races. But, you know, we've let ourselves be talked into thinking that race isn't worth what it actually is worth.
Well, hey, let me jump in for a second and ask all three of you guys, including Davis. Welcome, Davis. Is like, what is wrong with the white people that they have allowed everything that you two guys, and I'm sure Davis will share his sentiments, to happen to pretty much what maybe 40% or even 50% of white Americans now think it's okay to have your little 3 or 4 year old go have a child rapist tranny wave their wing wang in front of their face and do a bad lip sync strip imitation, and oh, that's so woke, we're so woke. And then the tolerating, as you said, Paul, the ridiculous passing of the central bank Federal Reserve on Christmas Eve 1913, I believe it was,
December and 23rd. So,
or December 23rd, one day before Christmas Eve. Okay,
there you go.
My point is, like, why haven't whites, I mean, I came back to the media to try to wake people up, and slowly we are waking people up, but it's like, it's not fast enough, Paul. Go ahead. And then Alex, and then we'll welcome Davis.
I'll pass it over to Davis. He hasn't really spoken yet.
Okay, right on.
Well, why the cultural decline, or why are we used by other races and allow such things? It seems to me that it's all one and the same. It's a trite comparison at this point because it's so goddamn obvious, but we are in a Weimar phase. And we need to get to a post-Weimar phase. That's sort of what Alex, I've listened to much of what he's done in the past on shows, and very, really, really good stuff. That's why, despite being late, I was excited about today. Yeah, I think Alex and Paul are kind of soulmates on this. Take them behind the chemical shed and hollow out their skulls with a 45. But that's... Yeah, that would fix it for sure.
Not to jump in, but think about the government arrested what I've been saying for a long time, we need the White Liberation Army. I don't know anyone who's doing that or trying to do that, but look who they arrested, Rousseau, the head of the Patriot Front. Mm-hmm. I don't know too much about the Patriot Front, but it kind of looks like what I think needs to be done, even though it's limited itself to hiking and stencils and banners. They pulled him in for carrying a torch at Charlottesville, and they've been doing this. It basically seems like 9/10 of the power of the federal government, other than giving money to Ukraine, has been going around and arresting anyone in the penumbra of the periphery of the penumbra, and whatever that Supreme Court phrase was, of being anywhere around Charlottesville back then. They're going around the country arresting these people. Now, he's out on bond, but at this point, I really think it's too late for anything except organized physical resistance.
Oh, no.
Because we did have the Supreme Court just to say, okay, Trump could be on the ballot, but that's the level we're at. We're a guy who's a billionaire and has all this money. I mean, he can't even get lawyers to defend himself. He can barely get on the ballot because these people have just decided we're not going to allow any more opposition. Anyone opposed to us is a hater. You know, their white skin alone identifies them as an enemy. I mean, I want, we're at a very low point.
I want to throw it back to Davis real quick. quick, but I mean, yeah, what you're sort of saying, Alex, and this is what I've been thinking for a long time, is we've just let too many lines in the sand be crossed. In other words, they've done so many. It's this incrementalism where, okay, it doesn't really affect me. You know, I mean, in other words, last week, Davis spoke about the honor culture, because I mentioned dueling, and you know, that was a really good point he was making. And I think about that sort of thing a lot, where, you know, what really makes us different from a lot of other people. And, you know, that's part of it. And so therefore, just because it doesn't affect you personally, it's like such an outrage. It shouldn't be allowed to continue. And there's been so many over the last few decades, we've all seen them, and they just come to pass. And we never let these, we don't hold these people to account. I said when I called into Stormfront years and years ago that the problem is they don't fear us. Okay. Now I think they're starting to, and you know, obviously by some of their actions and they're ramping up the, you know, the anti-Semitism campaign. And as you know, Giuseppe has sent last week a picture of billboard, who knows how many billboards they're buying, how many ads they're buying. And it's pathetic because of the fact that there's no way they're going to stem the rising tide of so-called anti-Semitism because it's justified. But anyway, sorry about that. David, you had some more thoughts you wanted to finish up?
Well, sure. Yeah, the rising tide is, we can all feel it, we see it, we hear it, but I think we can all agree it's a tad unfocused, and this is part of the issue, which allows this this government, which reveals its worry about white people through its actions, but it isn't all that worried. Let's not get too Alex Jones here about the war. We're winning the war and all this. I don't think we're winning the war, quote unquote. We're engaged, which is a big improvement. And if we were engaged in a more focused manner, something like what Alex is suggesting, we'd all be a lot better off. I will say though that the government uses this algorithm, or well, that's a bad word now. So they use like a heuristic for handling uppity whites, and they seem to have a really good system to play whack-a-mole, which is why as soon as anyone puts their head above the parapet, even slightly, anyone who's behaving within the penumbras and emanations is what you're referring to before, which refers to the way shadows extrude from corners when light moves across them.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's it's anyone who's sort of giving a hint of being Nazi-like, white supremacist-like. But you notice that the system never gives us the dignity of sort of separating the concepts of being a separatist versus being a supremacist. Most people I know are not interested in being a
supremacist. No, yeah, and then they get mad if you call Jews Jews. Oh, well, there's no Jews. They're individuals. You know, you can't even use this most basic thing. And an example of what you're saying, they've worked out all those algorithms. Who is the guy who's on Tucker Carlson? I printed a lot of that in my thing. I don't know. He's some either Jew or Jew-friendly, but he gave a lot of the details on how they do it. But they rig all the social media. Like Nick Griffin was saying today that Rishi Sunak mentioned him, and immediately the algorithm corrected so that you couldn't search him on X and find him.
And no way.
And see, oh, no. But I can absolutely guarantee you, like back in the day when I was more or less active and we did rallies and stuff, or if I was here and there was something going on that some people I knew were at, they would absolutely do DDoS attacks on my site so no one could find them. Mm. So they've been working on this stuff for a very long time. And yeah, like you said, they really do sort of lawnmower. The minute someone sticks up, they chop them down. They watch stuff grow a little bit just to see where it's coming from. But any kind of money backing, any kind of professional expertise or whatever, then they're gonna find a way to attack it and keep it at a low level. So they perfected that. That's the only thing they have to be good at, because the government is in no one's interest except sex perverts and Jews.
Yeah. So,
you know, they basically have to save themselves. That's what they have to be good at. Everything else doesn't matter.
I'll just quickly jump into when you made these comments before about Patriot Front and so forth. And I think, you know, Giuseppe, you know, kind of knows where I'm coming from, because, you know, we've talked a little bit on this, that an overt, you know, or above ground organization will come later, and it will be inevitable. But initially, everything's going to have to be essentially organized, but underground. You know, we're kind of, if you guys remember the good old Charles Bronson movies, we're going to have to be Paul Kersey, where, what was he, architect by day, And then, you know, at night, he'd go out and, you know, take care of business. And that's the way it's going to go. That's the way it's going to have to go initially. And of course, by doing these things, you might initially get out of the way some pesky people or some pesky organizations that are the ones that, of course, are orchestrating everything to prevent an above ground natural organic movement with natural leaders. So we'll have leaders, but the leaders are not going to be, you know, anybody that's going to be organizing a rally and, you know, getting arrested, because that in this war that we're fighting, which is, it's not just a war of attrition, which it is, but it's essentially a paradigm changing war, where they're changing the paradigm decade by decade, and they're actually doing it in real time with numbers of non-whites. Okay. In other words, if you wake up, you know, you go to sleep and you wake up 30 years from now and the whites are down to, let's say 35% of the population. And then you go to sleep and you wake up in another 20 years and whites are like 15% of the population. Well, nobody would have ever thought that would be possible. But at the same time, you know, we're just not long-term planning like the Jews are. And we have to think both short-term and long-term if we're going to win this.
Yeah, well, it's been obvious to anyone who pays attention, but I guess apparently 95% of the population is not capable of seeing what the Jews are doing. It's very obvious they work degree by degree by degree by degree, and they open the borders in 65 of the legal revolutions, and now they feel that they're an endgame, and they're just swamping all white lands with Africans, essentially.
Yeah.
And every single day I get on X and I see, you know, and today it was a video of some blacks in Australia beating up some autistic white girl on a bridge. Every single day there's new stuff like that. Every single day. And so,
well,
I don't know, but you say underground, but we don't see any evidence of people killing or assassinating the people who need to be killed. And Pierce is like, we're not in the stage we need to fight yet. But it's been that way my whole life. Read Mein Kampf. In Hitler went from nothing to everything in literally like months. I'm not saying he took power, but I'm saying he went from nothing to a huge regional national player in a few months.
That's not my reading of it. I mean, it took for how long before he was first starting to give little speeches in beer halls?
He was given
over a decade.
No. He was having mass meetings in about basically soon as the winter was over, from 1919 to 1920, mass meetings, physically attacked too. Now the conditions were even worse, so people had more reason to listen because they were really hungry.
Well, sure,
but that wasn't something that built up over 10 years. I mean, it did build,
but they didn't know
immediately. Well, he was doing a putsch. He was already doing a putsch with the head of the damn country in like 2-3 years from nothing, just being a soldier. It's right, not also something that builds up by degree over a very long time. People aren't like that. People are shallow. If you could get someone who's saying the stuff we're saying in front of Trump's people and get any kind of reasonable coverage or whatever, you could have the entire nation. And that's how someone who's a budding Hitler has to think about it. You're never going to build up slowly. They're going to identify you as soon as you show that you have any ability. They're going to come fuck with your personal life. They're going to fuck with your money. They're going to ostracize and isolate you pretty easily, if not kill you, if they actually think you can go the distance. That's the truth of it.
Okay, so for the moment, I'm going without articulating. I'm going to disagree with quite a bit of that. But listen, taking what you just said earlier about they're basically all flooding us with all blacks, Giuseppe. At this moment, it might not be a bad idea to play that little clip I sent you. We're going to do a little send off of Black History Month, which I don't really want officially to end because it's so full of material. But I think everybody.
You mean the Zulu clip?
Yeah, I think everybody will enjoy this clip, and we can make some comments. I've had some great commentary on it.
All right, here we go. Let's see.
This is my salute, my send off to Black History Month, gentlemen.
Let's see. All right, here we go.
Color sergeant,
sir,
I want half your men.
Now, even numbers.
Form two lines on the double,
sir.
Thank you. Fall back!
Get out of here!
Run right! Fire!
All right, for the radio audience, what we just witnessed was an overwhelming Zulu African attack pushed back by a series of small band of organized British soldiers. One wave would fire, then kneel down and load, then the next wave, and then one, two, one, two. You could hear the leader calling it out and ultimately killed a majority of them, and the rest of the blacks are now running away. So, Paul, that is inspiring for sure.
Yeah, so that was just one of several clips. It was a great movie if you haven't seen it in a while. I remember watching it as a young man. It was one of those days. I was actually just hanging out with a buddy. We were getting stoned, and we pulled the curtains to make the living room dark, and we watched that movie. And I've seen parts of it ever since. But one of the points I would make, I mean, first of all, I love a lot of the great scenes in that. And there's another scene where they have three lines, okay? They have a front, a middle, and a rear. And it's a great where he's calling out the commands, front rank, fire, middle rank, fire, rear rank, fire. And each time, of course, they're reloading because that's a single loading breech rifle.
Right, single fire rifle.
Yeah, it's actually, and listeners, for everybody out there, I do a little research now and then. I don't let Giuseppe do all the research. So I looked into this a little bit. What you're looking at there is the Martini Henry rifle. And it's got names because it was a Martini action, a very well-working, well-respected action, combined with the Henry barrel. So apparently there was a Scottish guy, Henry, and he came up with a very good barrel for the rifle. And that's essentially a 50 caliber rifle. It's a .557, okay? And it impacts with about 1,700 foot-pounds of force and traveling about 2,000 feet per second. So if you got hit by one of those, you're fucked up, okay? It's game over. And one of the reasons I thought about this as I watched this clip and a couple others like it is white supremacy is a real thing. Okay. It exists. And I just wish we could get more people to embrace it. Okay. I mean, the bottom line is that's what we do. All right. The problem with the Zulus, besides their technology being lacking, is they didn't really have the kind of organization and plans. Talk about the word regiment for a minute, right? Regimented, okay, is a great word, and that's what these guys did in real time in many different battles. It's one of the reasons they were so effective, and you could actually load and reload that thing in about 5 seconds. They said a well trained infantryman with experience could fire 10 to 12 times per minute. You know, it's not like what we have today, but you think about that 10 to 12 times per minute, and you got like a whole line of them. And so as they're kneeling down, they could reload another shot. And again, like I make the point that this was essentially a 50 caliber rifle with a similar stopping power of the 30-30 that we have today, 450 grain cartridge. So that's white supremacy in action. And it's, you know, planning, tactics, et cetera. And supposedly, as I was reading about the movie and actually reading a lot of the comments, too, it was a fairly accurate portrayal of the Battle of Rorke's Drift, which came on the heels of an absolute massacre. One of the things that all these British soldiers knew about was the fact that Zulus would disembowel the dying and the wounded, as well as sometimes the dead. And, you know, they're attributed supposedly to, they believe that they had to open you up to let your spirit go free from your body, whatever. Okay. The fact of the matter is if you were on the ground, okay, dead or dying or wounded, it was a high likelihood that with one of their spears or something that they would disembowel you. So that's what a lot of these guys probably had in their minds. And supposedly during the battle, there was another, a little bit of a crisis because, you know, these things are very chaotic. And so a bunch of Zulus broke into a little hospital they had, and they started to kill or to spear some of the people in the hospital, some of the wounded. And a bunch of British soldiers with bayonets drove them out. And that had to be some exciting adrenaline, I can imagine. But, yeah, so for the moment, those are my comments. Again, I highly advise anybody to watch clips of that movie and just think about the fact that here they were, okay, they had a system, they were organized, they had technology. There's no way, even if you gave the blacks another million years of evolution, they're not going to come up with the rifle because they didn't come up with a sail and they didn't come up with the wheel and how many millions of years of evolution. So anyway, I'll throw it back to the panel.
Yeah, so by thinking and working together and organizing, whites can overcome gigantic numerical disadvantages.
Right.
Yes.
And there's at least clips of this, what he's talking about on YouTube. I don't know if they got the whole movie free or not, but at least some of that battle. So, and this was a very small number of whites battling a very large, versus a couple dozen or something.
It was a couple of hundred whites, and I believe they estimated at that point it was like 2 to 4. They didn't know for sure, but 2 to 4,000 Zulus.
Right. Yeah, this is Michael Caine. Michael Caine Zulu. This from the early 60s.
Yep.
64, I think.
Yep.
And this was based on a battle in South Africa, Rorke's Drift, I think.
Rorke's Drift. And it was actually right on the heels. I forget the name of the massacre. Anybody will find it once they start looking. But there was a massacre just prior to that where supposedly about 20,000 Zulus wiped out, pretty much wiped out a British contingent of soldiers and civilians. So they also, during that little battle there, they knew what was at stake. Just like when we had to fight the Plains Indians here, and we could do multiple shows about the sort of things that took place during the war with a lot of the Plains Indians and the Comanches, because it was well known. All the soldiers, all the pioneers, all the settlers, they knew what would happen if you didn't win or you didn't die. If you were somehow to live or be wounded, it was not, because they're savages. They were basically savages.
They love torturing almost as much as Jews do.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Jews are killing babies and families and bombing hospitals. So much that even Fred Reed, as sort of a conservative, wrote against it and said a lot of his even liberal and conservative friends are now open anti-Semites, to use their propaganda term, because of the horrors of what they've actually seen there. And he's always been one who's, well, Jews taught me the two-step, so there can't be anything wrong with them. So...
So speaking,
Jews have made an impression on people by their love of torture. They kill little babies and then they lie in their crib and hold their toys and take photos and make TikToks. I mean, they're absolutely sick. Yeah, I can talk about them morally or aesthetically, but they're, in fact, they're just a different species or different biology from what we are.
Yep. So speaking of Jews real quick, so we'll just drop this in there. Giuseppe, you want to show me Firing Squad Adam Schiff real fast? Can you pull that little commercial up?
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, and for those who may or may not know, Adam Schiff was voted impeached by the House of Representatives because he's an incredible, vile, kike piece of shit. And he is a homosexual, but a sadistic, abusive homosexual. He and his buddy, their playtime over the last decade or so has been finding young teenage, so he's a pederast, young teenage blacks and browns and whites, and drugging them and then ramming all sorts of large implements up their poopers, including his small little shriveled penis, and then just beating them and abusing them, and it was all fun choking them until the pair, Schiff and his buddy killed some young, Negroid. And then Schiff got to take off before the cops got there and his pal took the rap. So this guy.
That was evocative.
And so, by the way, Giuseppe, that was a great
such small portions. Now, wait, is he buddy? He's a pop-eyed maniac-looking kike freak, well, and no, he has a exactly. huge amount of political power. Was he with that Democratic operative in California? Because that's what I remember. All that.
Well, you're going to
bug into colored teens, or is that
Alex? Alex, if you've not seen it, Alex, if you've not,
we're
going to
play this
commercial,
clip right now. Here we go.
Yeah, we're going to play this. Political ads, a great ad. And by the way, with Giuseppe's description in mind, he sounds to me perfect for the U.S. Senate, doesn't he?
Hell yeah.
Go ahead, play this clip. You guys will love this little clip, this little commercial. What's this?
Why is it taking so long? This is weird.
You must have Comcast.
It's just a regular old YouTube thing I sent you.
No, right. Yeah, it's for, well, here, let me shrink this down.
I watched it like it was nothing on my phone. Oh, here we go.
Slowing us up, Paul.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just sent a YouTube clip, so I did.
Hang up on Paul.
Good Fetzer imitation.
You want to try it again, or?
Try restarting. I'm not going to restart the device. What I will do, though, is it's funny. There's only 304 subscribers to the Vile Kike Schiff page. You know, you'd think if he was popular, he might have a little more.
Well, that's like 300 times more popular than Joe Biden.
Adam Schiff, tell you that's proof that the Russian bots are working against
him. All right, I'm gonna delete that and try just putting it in a new browser window. Here we go. Let's see what that is.
Well, Alex Linder, you are correct about Schiff being he is the Democrat.
Let's take a chance to see if Charles Murray will play.
He spearheaded the whole Trump piss tape thing and all of that. Not that I care one way or another about that, but that's where he had recently made his bones.
Well, Schiff is, where's Schiff from? I thought he's from the East Coast.
Yeah, he's from Cali.
Yeah, I'm going to try and see.
Adam. If you want, I can send you the link.
I'm getting confused.
No, I have the link.
I know there was a guy who was drugging not loading it.
Now let's see if I can find his website about.
Well, what I was going to send you the link that I searched term just pull up. There's multiple videos to pull from. I could send you that link, and then you could maybe click on the one.
Here we go, Adam. Present it. Let's see if it's here.
There we go.
There's his immediately asking for money. This vile fucking kike, man. I can't stand this asshole.
Let me do this. I'm gonna send you.
Let's see.
Okay, here we go.
Now, for the record, this is garbage content. I have to prepare.
Gotta make
YouTube MP4 clips and send those to Giuseppe, so he's not reliant upon.
Well, I called you yesterday. There we go, Giuseppe.
That was you calling me yesterday.
Yeah, I tried to get a hold of you we could do some of this work for Giuseppe.
My mistake.
Yeah. Because he's taking shots at Steve Garvey, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, that's the guy who's running against him. Oh, maybe no. Let's see.
They're saying Steve Garvey is too conservative.
You may know how this has worked. Oh, rule of law.
Here we go. That's it.
Here we go. YouTube's now working. So for a minute it was, okay, let's start from the beginning. So this is Adam Schiff, the vile kike, pederast murderer.
You may know Adam Schiff's work to protect the rule of law, or to build affordable housing, or write California's Patients' Bill of Rights. But I know Adam through the bank. We've been brothers since I was 7.
Look at that fucking shit.
I graduated from
He's
Yale.
He's been banging.
And I stood by his side when he married Eve.
Look at that.
Love of his life. I'm a little biased. But take it from Adam's little brother. He'll make us all proud as California senator.
I'm Adam Schiff, and I approve this message.
So Adam groomed a little groid homo, and so that's his beard wife, because Adam is a flaming, vicious S&M faggot. There's just no two ways about that.
Good Lord. I don't know why. I thought the guy was from New York.
Allegedly, Giuseppe. We got to say allegedly.
Well, no, we don't have to say that because it's been proven in court when his buddy said it was him and Adam Schiff. So
I actually was not familiar with that case.
It's amazing.
Yeah, are you talking about the Ed Buck situation?
Yes, exactly right.
Okay, just for I guess people maybe already know this, but Ed Buck had a history of bringing African American men to his house where he would inject them with
That's who I'm thinking about. I'm almost
crystal methamphetamine for sexual gratification. He'd ply them with drugs and alcohol and give them a little cash, and then he'd sexually abuse them while they were unconscious or immobile, sometimes tying them up afterwards. But the only Schiff connection I'm aware of is that Schiff was aware of Ed Buck's behavior. Not sure he participated, but there evidence. He
participated. There's multiple testimonies that Buck and Schiff were butt-blast buddies with these young browns and blacks. And
Just to be clear, I'm not denying it. I've just found testimony that implicates Adam Schiff. There was one, some of them died, just so you know. Some of these.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I remember. One of them died and that whole thing came out years ago, I think.
That was a scandal down in like some apartment in L.A. or something like that.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
One of the men who survived stumbled from the apartment sort of like Jeffrey Dahmer victim style. When the police asked him what had gone on, he discussed all sorts of things being forcibly inserted inside him. And then he did say when Adam Schiff was behind him and had threatened to insert his member, then supposedly did, the Negro asked, "Is that a baby's thumb?"
And this is, by the way, this is the best example, too, of what kind of, shall we say, world, who's in charge here? Because all this stuff should be all over the news, right? In other words, they can attack any politician they want. The media can get together and decide to go after, like they're going after Trump as an example, and everybody knows I'm no big Trump fan, but, it's a perfect example. Well, why aren't we hearing about this, right? Why do we have to remind each other? And, of course, it's way back there in that milieu of past news stories where this should be front and center, but no. And good God, can anybody really look at that little black guy, given his, shall we say, his endorsement or his testimony for Adam Schiff, can anybody look at that guy and not wonder, at what age did Adam Schiff start putting his penis in his mouth?
In his little bubble butt. Hey, let me ask all you guys, especially Paul, since you've moved back to California, I remember in the 70s and 80s when California was almost 90% white still, and Steve Garvey was the stud first baseman on just an exceptional baseball team, the Los Angeles Dodgers under Tommy Lasorda. He was a perennial all-star. They won multiple World Series. He was literally the clean-cut All-American boy beloved in California. How the hell can Steve Garvey, a true American decent guy, probably not going to beat this vile, raping a little boy, a traitorous kike, Adam Schiff? How can it not be 95% Garvey for Senate and 5% only the actual kikes and homos voting for Schiff? Explain that to me, please.
Well, since you mentioned my name, I'll go quickly first. Who knows? But yeah, you remember and his wife too, Cindy Garvey.
She was a media personality or something, right?
Yeah. She was super hot California blonde, as they say. And the world, of course, the world of the Jew is completely perverse and ugly. You can look at art, for example, our culture, television, movies, anything that they touch, they will ruin. Okay, they will promote. They will promote the most dystopic, dysfunctional, unappealing people and notions and ideas as well. So, the commercials against Steve Garvey are so simplistic and pathetic. It's just ridiculous. I don't know if anybody's heard or seen any of them, but here in California, they're running ads where Steve Garvey voted for Trump. Steve Garvey is a conservative Republican. Steve Garvey, too conservative for California. It's just literally they're 30-second ads.
Unbelievable.
And that's all they say. Too conservative. What does that even mean? Okay, go ahead, guys.
Alex.
Yeah, they just shifted people. I lived out there during that time. You're absolutely right. He was a big, brawny, good-looking, hairy, forearmed.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something strange, but I swear men had bigger and hairier forearms back then than they do today due to chemical decline in masculinity, which is apparently an absolute
fact. That's absolutely right.
I absolutely believe that. There's like I'm maybe I'm a little older than you guys. I don't know, but the people are just a little different now than they were physically. And I start seeing these kids who are like 18, 19, and they're like freaking. Now you want to get into a conspiracy theory. I've said this before, but I believe it's not just that they discriminate against white males. The ones they let in are disproportionately homosexual, one, and very small, two. And the only ones who aren't are a few that are into athletics. And I'm talking at minor schools. I've just stuff I've noticed. It's kind of occurred to me that it might be true. But back then, yeah, it was a big, you know, the ending of the Beach Boy. It's after that, but it's still before the whole end of that came. And now they've just shifted the population, is my understanding.
No,
I've been back maybe twice since I left college.
No, let me tell you, you're making a very accurate point. You're precisely correct. They are changing the human, not just the demographics, but the look of the human race. And all you got to do is watch clips back in the day from, you know, American Bandstand or the Midnight Special or anything. You could see, you know, what white people looked like, the way they moved out on the dance floor. You know, they were taller, you know, better looking. And now they're turning us into, I mean, the white people that are still here in California. Of course, there's a lot of them, but we're maybe 50% of the population out here. And they're just like fat, pasty looking, in many cases, stupid, not masculine. You know, they just don't look that normal athleticism that we all see. It's like looking at clips back from the 20s and 30s and 40s in Germany. Right. You saw what people look like, because at one point, I believe right up to about World War II, the United States population was at least 50% Germanic by, you know, heritage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no doubt what you're saying is absolutely true with all the chemicals and the food and the water and so forth.
It's the
demographic, chemical, and cultural change all in one. And all of a sudden you're a third world country. You wake up one day and Jesus, there's shit in the street and it looks like downtown Mali or something.
Well, you just basically take the DMV. If everybody's been to the DMV, you know what that looks like. Now you just spread that out through society. They're literally turning us into the DMV out in public. It's really what
DMV it is. Nationalism.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey,
real quick, we have seen the rise of the FDA engineered metrosexual for sure, but I wanted to comment on how could a decent person not beat Adam Schiff? And sometimes I'm Captain Obvious here, but I'm going to make the point. Yeah, it's almost like voting doesn't matter.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're voting for money. They don't give a shit about personality at this point, really. They're all relying on the government, the central government, most of them.
I believe that he should be impaled and decapitated. But Giuseppe, do you have the firing squad clip ready? We're going to dispense with him.
Impaled first, yes.
Right. Oh, for Schiff, how about the electric chair?
Okay, all right. Let's electrocute him.
All right, light him on fire in front of the Israeli embassy. I'd like that better. His skin would flay.
Adam Schiff for stealing billions, for drugging and raping young innocent men, and for grooming that little black faggot who says you're his big brother. We sentence you in the President Paul from California administration to the electric chair.
Hit it.
Goodbye, Adam Schiff.
Goodbye, Adam Schiff.
Oh, God. The other commercials he's running, if you guys haven't seen him, you probably won't see him, I guess, if you're not in California, right? But he runs these commercials where he says Adam Schiff he's going to make the economy work for all of us, because he starts out by saying, you probably noticed that you can't really, it's hard to make a living now. You can't just go and have a job and pay the rent and, you know, pay all your bills, because the economy doesn't work for everybody. But Adam Schiff is going to, quote, make the economy work for everybody. And then he closes it off by saying, we can win this thing and we can still get big things done. And when I see these commercials multiple, you can't avoid them. They're on the radio and so forth. I wonder, did the Jew invent the political platitude? I mean, you talk about political platitudes, and I wonder, is they had to invent it somehow.
They invented caveat emptor and the political platitude. That's the two gifts from the Jews.
Thank you, Jews.
Well, it's just attitudinizing. They teach in school to have the right attitude. Just, you know, everything's emotional. You can't use logic with people very much. Maybe privately with a real smart person, but it's not an accepted way of understanding things. You're just supposed to strike the right pose.
Mm.
Yes.
Everyone's an actor now. At least in public. That's what a communism is like. Or at least if you're in the brawn class, you have to act all the time.
I think what's truly frustrating, of course, is that we endlessly have to make the point, again, Captain Obvious here, that the people who should be opposing this properly are occupying a space on the political right, and they're the conservatards, they're the do-nothing faggots. They're the fag party, and they're sitting there not even challenging overtly, like, just embarrass this guy. What have you been doing? What do you mean now? Oh, now it's time to make the economy. What have you been doing? You've been there your whole life doing nothing. And now we're going to get down to business and make the economy work. Fuck off.
Hope and change. Hope and change, baby.
No, they're self-serving. They're serving their own career. And that's...
I'm surprised Schiff isn't positioning himself as an outsider. I've never been in the Senate before, so I'm an outsider, even though I was in the House of Representatives for 30 years. I'm an outsider to the Senate.
Well, you know what we need to do is have all the talented people out there that make these videos, right? We remake an Adam Schiff commercial with all those little factoids and allegations that Giuseppe laid out. You know, we make a new Adam Schiff commercial instead of the one that shows them, like, with housing, and they show, you know, some construction site, right? Like Adam Schiff has ever, you know, been in construction. Always, but he's affordable housing, or, you know, patient's bill of rights, where they show the little medical office scene, right? We're going to show some other type of scenes, you know, for the Adam Schiff commercial.
Yeah. Well, my point, of course, is that all we get out of the Sean Hannity is, oh, look at Shifty Shift. Oh, Shifty Shift. That's a good one, Sean. Now, will you actually discuss something of any fucking relevance?
Right. Well, I'm done with Sean Hannity. My choice. Oh,
of course, we're done with them, but they're also behind the chemical shed, one shot, back of the skull.
That was actually a comedic line, because of what I started to say is I'm done with Sean Hannity. I'm full-time Mark Levin, the great one.
Oh, brother.
That's it. I said it.
Oh, that was good. Do it again. No.
Yeah, that's him. Oh, he said it now. Yeah, okay, guys.
That's it. I said it.
So one thing, let me ask all three of you, and we'll start with Alex this time. Alex, is there's increasing coverage by the alternative media about the great replacement is not a theory. And in fact, the UN has come out and said that whites shouldn't be able to live rurally, and you do live pretty much in rural Missouri. And you shouldn't be able to grow right here from All News Pipeline. Great replacement is not a theory. And you do live in rural Missouri. So what's the take? Do people realize that these vile kikes and these globalist satanic communists are really doing everything they can to try and maintain power? And then they're going to be coming for all of us who grow our own food and don't want to live in a white community.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know how aware they are if it hasn't directly happened to them. The people who are actual agricultural people tend to be like pro Trump and they're conservative, but I don't know to what extent they pay attention, like what went on in Holland and what's going on in the UK, where they're trying to buy out and just press people into getting off the farm. They want people collected in urban centers where they can control them more easily. They don't want independent people who are, I hate the phrase, closer to nature, but at least have experience with large animals and understand reality. That tends to be more right-wing or conservative, less easily manipulable. People who are truly agriculture are a weird mix of, like, believing too much of what they see on TV because they don't have a lot of people stimulus where they are, versus being more attuned to certain realities. So there's kind of an odd mix there. Certain things linger way longer than they would in the suburbs or cities, but also they're also more amenable to influence in a way than people who kind of can see through it if they live around it more closely. But I, like, say you're a farmer in Bacadir County here. Are you aware that, you know, they can, I think they're aware of what nitrogen and fertilizer prices went up a lot.
Right.
But I don't know to what extent they are aware of the UN and the absolute, hey, you see what they're doing in Holland? They're eventually going to do that over here. I don't know that they're to that level yet. It depends on whether they've had direct dealings with the government.
Yeah, difficult.
That's about all I can say about rural, but I'm not really, I'm more like suburban, small town type. I'm not on a farm or anything like that, but I have known a few people and talked to them and who were actually, you know, in agriculture, and that's that was the impression that I got. I mean, if you move 30 minutes from here, there's no one out there. That's about the only place you're not going to be around blacks and what have you. Even the small towns now, they're piping Africans into, I mean, literal Africans into, as I've said.
Yeah, it's so disgusting. Yep.
Yeah, they piped in a whole bunch of them, then they all left for Ohio, and then they now they're piping in a whole bunch more, and they're basically Congolese, French-speaking Congolese.
Oh, brother.
So I mean, if you don't understand, I mean, waking people up, if people don't understand by now that their government is completely at war with them, hates them, yeah. is trying to just get shoo them out the door, and presenting mass media material like they're already gone, I don't know that, what you're going to say to them that's going to persuade them, because anyone with any kind of eye for stuff can see this, see what we're talking about in his own town, and I don't care where you live, you can see it. You know, unless, like I said here, if you go out to the very farthest counties that don't really have any people living, that's about the only place where it's still kind of truly white and rural. But everywhere else, there is a decent amount of the same garbage you see in a big city. You know, I said on our earlier show, I walked into town and the only people I saw was like a family comes out. They're all speaking Spanish. Literally, in this small town of Missouri. Then I walk again and I see a couple blacks out. One of them shoveling. They're Africans. I saw one old white guy walking. I mean, that's just a random check of what's going on in one small town. It's not all these white people.
Oh, it's everywhere. But there's something important to point out about what you just said, and it would be this, is that you said that I don't know if they're really aware. Well, so they are for the most part. But they're afraid to actually say anything about it. This is what I've tried to say before and on other places, that the number they've done on our minds with this brainwashing propaganda about racism, right? So everybody knows, okay? Everybody can see with their own eyes, but they really are, in many ways, afraid to say it. And some, probably maybe a little subconsciously, are afraid to actually recognize it for what it is. And, you know, I've said it on the air for a very long time, that there's no difference between the government and the Jews, or the government and our enemy. In other words, the government is our enemy. People just don't want to, you know, really, really talk about it.
An additional factor in a small town is a lot of these, they actually help them. And leaving aside their financial incentives to be paid by them, a lot of, like, take, for example, a thrift store. A lot of the thrift stores will be started by some variation of Christian, and they have a lot of to do with aliens and all that, and helping them, and they're over helping people and sending their kids abroad to work with them, and it's completely insane. But and that's apart from the official Catholic, Lutheran, what have you charities that are paid by the government to settle these people. In fact, even where I used to live, at the end of the time I was living in an apartment, I mean, they were starting to pipe in these Central Africans a couple doors away from me. And, you know, they're no doubt being subsidized in the rent and whatever, or the people that put them in there are from churches or from the rental agency. These people are, and it's the same thing in Ireland. It's the same thing everywhere across the globe. So the point is, if you're afraid, and people are to some extent, they do notice it, and they are afraid to say anything, you got to have organized leaders to fight back, because people don't see anything they can join.
And/or
it's not going to sacrifice their career and their family.
And/or loosely disorganized.
No hope. It has to have a chance of winning.
Well, I mean, look, it's anything is better than nothing. We can have somewhat organized, loosely organized, perhaps maybe a little bit disheveled and disorganized, you know, kind of rough characters that, you know, it's going to start probably sooner or later. I can't imagine it's going to be that much longer. Because I got to tell you, if it was happening when I was younger, I'm older now, and, you know, my levels of testosterone are declining, as they all do. It's unfortunate. It's part of life. But if I, with the level of testosterone and aggression that I had in my 20s and 30s, if I was to, you know, be seeing what I'm seeing now, it just would, I'd be incarcerated or something.
Well, the thing is, the price is the same. Like, just within the last 2 days, a guy is jailed for 2 years in Britain for sticking up no white guilt stickers.
Sam Malia. Yeah. I mean, And so if you just interject for a second, tell people who don't realize that this fella has just been, he's a decent married man going playing by the rules of you know, just flyering and putting stickers up. He's a father of a young baby. He's a totally decent guy. He has every right to be pointing these things out. And what's sad, and I'll turn it back to Alex, is Britain is still, you know, about a 70% white majority, you know, other than London, which is overrun by browns and blacks.
Oh, I think it's more like 95%, believe it or not.
Really? Why are they putting up with this then? Wow.
Because again, they're not, or they have a, I don't think I've ever known anyone in the UK who hadn't been in jail for his opinions. And I don't know a hell of a lot of people, but that's literally true. And then these people, and you try to talk to Fox News people, they have no, they give you that stupid, like, defensive, clueless monkey laugh or donkey laugh. You're like, Britain and Germany and Canada are not free countries. They're extremely oppressive. If you have the wrong, they just can't comprehend any of that stuff. But yeah, they, and then I saw something, I think it was recent, where they were reacting to some judge. Just continually on X, I'm seeing, you know, these judges are going lenient on these groomers, on these rapists, on these beaters of white children, whereas whites who express any political view are thrown in jail. I mean, being thrown in jail for 2 years, in a lot of ways, not to be dramatic, that wrecks your life. And if you're on a fucking upward trajectory trying to build a family or trying to build a business, you have to be, don't let people tell you to be well-rounded. Be obsessive. If you're going to make anything in this world, you got to be obsessive. And now you're taking 2 years out to sit in prison while you don't know your kid. Your wife is not getting any better. She's struggling. This is no minor thing at all.
No, no.
And Lord's right. He's absolutely across the West for anyone who tries to defend our people, even the very idea. So it's going to come down to physical stuff, and it's got to be organized. And, yeah, like you're saying, you know, well, you get older and older. I mean, at some point, if you're young and white and you want a future, you need to make yourself as strong as possible and link up with as many other strong white men as you can possibly find. And then I include white women under that, too.
And vet them, because there's going to be a lot of kikes and feds trying to pretend they're on your team when they're infiltrators. But hey, let's give Davis a shot. Davis, you wanted to talk about the great replacement. It's not a theory. I put it back up on the screen. It's 100%.
Yes. Thank you for that. Yeah. So, of course, we moved on to Sam Melia and where is it? Melia? I don't know. I believe he's half Italian or something. But his wife, Laura Towler, is pregnant, and so this means he's going to miss the birth of his child. It's an absurdity. Not to mention that what he said on the stickers is absolutely true, and no one in court denied it wasn't true. So there's a war on white people. In fact, the case against him and his ultimate prosecution makes the point that there's a war against white people, and he puts up a sticker about wars against white people, and they say, oh, you're going to jail for hate speech. Right. So the truth is no defense. Now, just quickly, to return to this great replacement is not a theory, and the fact that the UN has come out and said, oh, well, white people have a right to live in rural areas. It's like, first of all, thank you for permission, UN. I was waiting for that. I was waiting for you to tell me it was okay. This is like people waiting for Candace Owens to say something. Oh, I can say it now. The Negress uttered the same thing I'm thinking. Now I can say it. No. But what I wanted this article back up, because remember the good old days when, you know, Jew-controlled John McManus was running the, what was that again? What was that thing he ran? Oh, now I feel really dumb and freezing.
Who are we talking about?
What was John McManus? He ran the some sort of an organization. Oh my gosh,
don't remember that.
Okay, well, John McManus. Everyone would know this as soon as I said it. Oh boy!
Hold on, let me search for John.
What, some conservative thing, or
yes, yeah, false conservative sort of thing,
like Turning Point USA type crap.
Yeah, but earlier, much earlier. I was like 9 years old when this guy was running this nonsense.
Oh.
And yeah,
media or overtly political? Young Americans,
overtly political. He ultimately made a paper called The New American. It was like a magazine.
Oh, John Birch or.
Thank you. John Birch. I don't know, it's freezing up.
John Birch.
I never heard of any McManus with John Birch. That was Robert Welch. And, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, John McManus was there, like CEO or whatever. But anyway, John McManus was running around and selling his videos about how the UN was dangerous. The UN is trying to tell us what to do. You know, if only. You see, this is the real problem. The UN would be telling Israel to stop. There's no UN forces stopping Israel doing anything. So the UN has always been a feckless paper tiger that is simply there to just rile up the retards and, you know, just run another news cycle psyop. That's Boutros Ghali now. And then after that, we had the black guy running it. It's just all so retarded and tedious. These people are now going to recognize, now that it's too late, practically, you're going to recognize, oh, well, white people are being replaced. Well, thanks for nothing. You know, right.
Let me say one little thing. In relation to the attitude of people, like, say, in this town, I'll hear, like, the first thing people notice is, who are these people? Where are they from? And then they'll notice odd things about them, like, oh, they have a lot of, they're driving over their jobs and keep going off the road in the winter. And they'll notice weird little things like that. Yeah. But then after a point, it's like, they don't really understand why they're here. They think it's kind of weird. But then after the point, I would think they would notice that they just never stop coming.
Right.
If you weren't political, you would start, well, what the hell is going on here?
Well, the first question that I've asked is, you know, where is it they're working? What jobs are they working?
They work in, like, they're working like 20 miles away from here. There's a whole bunch of agricultural, it's either pigs or soybeans or something. They work in the processing. They were working ones that got pissed off and left actually worked in my town. A lot of them worked at Kraft Heinz, which is like, you know, cold meat stuff. And they got fed up and had some kind of disagreement and they left. I'm not saying they're not getting benefit, but they're also working. And then the other ones were in Milan. It's like Milan, but pronounced Milan. 20 miles from here is a big processing center. And I used to know a girl who used to work there, and she had told me they were bringing up, this was years and years ago, they were bringing up people with multiple drug resistant tuberculosis and having them work in the plant. They were bringing in people directly from down in Mexico.
Yeah.
So that's an aspect of it. The main thing is white replacement, but also they don't want to ever increase the wages. Yeah. So,
well, they will
never say, well, no benefits, you can't find people to work at this rate, so you raise the rate. No, they won't do that.
Yeah, I hate that aspect of it, too. This has always been discussed when I first started going on to VDARE and becoming familiar with American Renaissance about the so-called lower wage jobs. And that, to me, that's just somewhat of a red herring. Of course, corporations always want to pay the lowest wage they can get away with, but it's just part. It's a Jew.
It's
a Jew sponsored racial war. That's all it is. That's what I've said for probably near 10 years. You don't have to. Look. They're not trying to bring in new voters. Okay, they're not trying to keep our wages down. Although that's a part of the program. It's a racial war, and the effects of the racial war are everything else that happens after that. So, there's no doubt about the fact that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the overall. And it's always safe to blather on about the economy and whatever, because that's the one thing conservatives are allowed to whine about.
The conservatives are hard shit.
Like, Ireland is full. Well, that's a weak point argument. The argument is Ireland is for Irish people, not for people from Sierra Leone or whatever. Yes. So I was just making an actual real world point of this. No. This does go on.
No, I get it.
Hey, let me jump in for a second for just a point of knowledge that John McManus, I found this article on the John Birch Society, what it stands for and why it's been attacked. So evidently in 1973, John F. McManus accepted an appointment by Robert Welch, the society's founder, as the organization's director of public affairs. He later became its president. So there you go. So that's
going way back. I don't even remember that name. I mean, I knew a little about the Birch stuff. They always leave the Jew out, but we know Revelo Oliver was involved with them until he found out.
Yes, yeah. Revelo Oliver found out they were taking Jew money, and of course,
yeah. He never even really nailed it down, but I think he basically concluded he was pretty darn sure it was a Jew. Jews were giving him the money behind Welch, and so he split with it in the '60s. But very interesting background.
And we've got another interesting tidbit. from Pale, who lives in Britain, and he's in the chat room. He goes, in sentencing Sam Melia, the judge said that he had chosen to give a jail sentence in order to make an example of Sam and discourage those with similar opinions. What also irked Sam's wife was that the prosecution argued that putting up stickers saying stop rape gangs was bad because it was a particular sensitive topic and time. So that's absurd. I mean, what? I mean,
so you can only put up stickers when they don't matter.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't infringe on the feelings of non-whites. And see, what you eventually come to realize is that the entire world was built by a tiny minority of white men who are able to realize there's something outside of their own ego and feelings. There's an independent reality that if you figure it out, you can actually do things. Right. And now we're reverting. Now it's exactly, it really is psychologically exactly like a nice garden that's been regrown over by weeds. It'll happen very, very, very quickly. And so all that matters is the feelings of these minorities. And you can't, it doesn't matter if what you say is true. It's not nice. The Jews have empowered that kind of ultimately feminine thinking. That's how a mother thinks.
Exactly. No, exactly. And if you don't mind, Giuseppe, maybe at this juncture, we can play a few minutes of that Charles Murray interview tape, because this is a perfect time to comment on some of those things that he says or doesn't say in that interview.
Sure. Oh, that shift.
While you're moving to that, I'll just quickly mention this particular sensitive topic.
Sensitive.
Think about what the judge is admitting. Oh, so you're admitting this is a problem, which is why he can't put up stickers. You know, and good, by the way, Paul, let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. Good propaganda would, in fact, be pounding conservatives on the economic aspect. Get on a moral high ground and ask conservatives, why do you hate your children? Why do you hate your children so much you want to lower their wages into the fucking ground where they can't even live in the same neighborhoods they grew up in? Why do you hate your kids, conservatives? That's how you should do it, because we are far away from being able to call people out on the racial war aspect of it. So when it comes to propaganda, let's not throw out the baby.
You can combine that with the incredible affirmative action discrimination they face in everywhere. Yes. And you can throw in the South Africa. Oh, look, they're 7% of the population. And they pay like supposedly like there's 7 or 8 blacks depending off every taxpayer, and they're all white, and they're discriminated against. I mean, you're saying this is the future you're setting up for your kids.
Yeah. Why do you hate your children, conservatives?
Yeah. Yeah. The conservatives and the Christians are the first to go. Nothing disgusts me more than these fucking.
Well, the Christians.
They should ask.
Have you been to Appalachia? Okay, you haven't. Well, then. I don't want to hear about your trip to El Salvador or whatever the
exactly.
fuck.
Exactly. They want to go to other places and convert. The missionary Christian is probably one of the most vile creatures. They want to go somewhere, put a crucifix around the neck of some black or brown little nigglet and say, oh,
go build a house for some shoeless white kid who lives on a mountain somewhere being clear cut by some kike who owns the coal industry in his state. When you do that, when you build the house for them, then I'll think you're a Christian. Until then, shut up.
Yeah, the evangelical Zionist Christian missionary is, they are traitors to their race. They are traitors to this country. They are traitors to everything. And they're so weak minded. And in Oriental medicine, I'm a doctor of Oriental medicine. There's the perfect triangle of body, mind, and spirit. And these sick evangelical Zionist Christians, Judeo Christians, which is an oxymoron that really means devil God, is, if they don't, they're incapable of understanding that a bunch of vile kikes, Rothschild paid their handler, Samuel Untmeyer, to pay an angry drunk Cyrus Schofield to rewrite the Bible to make the Jesus the Christ who claimed in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9 that the Jew, which it wasn't called a Jew then, is the synagogue of Satan and her father's the devil, to make them into the chosen people is so absurd. But yet these weak-minded assholes, they're like, oh, the Bible, I take the Bible literally, oi. Oi, literally, they're the chosen now. It's just so.
It's the inspired word of God.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah. They never looked into the production values of it. Now, right here, I'm looking at something. Ohio GOP Senate candidate Matt Dolan backs racism as a public health crisis. there's your right wing in 2024. Oh, racism is the biggest problem.
Oh my God.
Racism, not groids and attacking white people. Oh, my God.
While Giuseppe's searching for this link.
He found it.
Oh, okay.
But you want to set it up, Paul? I can play it.
Yeah. Well, no, okay. I happened to come upon this. I just clicked on it and I started listening because, you know, I thought, okay, it was an interesting title about, you know, Charles Murray and the race IQ debate or whatever. And didn't take me long where I was up chucking my cookies because of how weak he was.
So the key that we know this is going to be bad is Vice News up here in the upper right-hand corner is actually Kike News. And so an HBO controlled by Kike. So this is if you grab your vomit bag.
I thought they went bankrupt.
They did. Yeah, this is.
Didn't Vice go bankrupt?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they're still around though. I guess that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
But it's of some interest. It could take as long as 4 to 5 minutes, but I think within the first few minutes you'll hear and see the sort of things that I hear and see, and then we can all comment upon.
All right, here we go.
We're going to shut down the white supremacist Charles Murray. Is that right?
Many people hate this man. They call Charles Murray dangerous. Why? Because he wrote this book, which includes research into IQ.
Turn up the volume.
Among different races.
Yeah, I can't.
Charles Murray, get out of town! By any means necessary, shut him down!
But the activist's reflexive anger obscures the fact that Murray's not a white supremacist. He's a thoughtful researcher. He's published more than a dozen.
Yeah, which means white supremacist. If you're a thoughtful researcher, you're ultimately going to be a white supremacist.
Influenced the way I think of the government. It's about how, as a young Peace Corps volunteer in Thailand, he saw how government aid made people dependent and even unhappy.
They destroyed the ability of that village to run its own affairs. They weren't as united. They weren't. Didn't function.
Let's stop for a second and make the point that our great friend Jim Fetzer and many others did similar books, academic PhD level books, proving that the races are not equal, that there is definite trackable major differences in IQs between African blacks and American whites and Chinese and Japanese. And to say that all humans are the same is just a bunch of Kike nonsense and mind control. So let's continue.
Also problematic, Giuseppe, is
ocular PhD to figure that out.
There you go. Both
this guy's conclusions are problematic, though. He's saying, "Oh, aid makes them dependent. If this were white people, you call it an investment. They'd build you a city."
Jesus there Christ! Go. We got the commentary already. We haven't finished watching. No, I'm just kidding.
No. Here we go. Back to it. Here we go ahead.
I saw what government looks like from Bangkok. And how it looks to the villager, and it's the same as in the United States.
Where billions more is being spent on government welfare programs, and more Americans become dependent on government.
Aren't you upset?
I'm deeply depressed. No, it's worse than that. I don't see a way back out.
And so why are you smiling?
Because what else am I going to do?
Americans becoming dependent on government is the theme of Murray's best-selling book, Losing Ground. Losing Ground influenced presidents.
The scholarly work of Charles Murray.
Presidents from both parties.
I think he did the country a great service.
Bill Clinton then passed welfare reform.
No one wants to change the welfare system as badly as those who are trapped in it.
But today's activists ignore all Murray's work except for the bell curve.
Oh, Murray, go away! Racist, sexist, anti-gay!
These students at Vermont's expensive Middlebury College stopped Murray from speaking.
Look at all these stupid whites. Look at that. 90% are white race
traitors. I think it's important to hear what people like him say. We talked for more than an hour.
Middlebury, what did you think?
I was shocked. And I'm smiling because I was shocked, but not scared. Not, oh dear, what's going to happen? I'm standing up in front of the crowd, and they're all chanting. And chanting and chanting, but I don't really think that anybody's going to rush the stage. And they didn't. And so that was a situation I'd been in before. I'd had protests and people chanting at speeches. What I did not have any other time after we left the stage and went down to stream my speech in a little studio where people banging on the walls and trying to get into the room, trying to get through the door. And all at once I said, this is no fun. And then it ended, the day ended with us walking out to go to the car. By we, I mean Bill Berger, who was one of the administrators who was running the event, and Allison Stanger, the professor who was moderating my appearance. And we come out the door, and we have two security guys, Middlebury security guys, but just two. And there's a mob out there with some really big guys that didn't look like Middlebury students to me, who are standing between us and where we have to go. And you suddenly realized you didn't have the option of just standing there or going back in the building, which would have been craven. So we just pushed ahead. And at that point, yeah, at that point, I remember saying to myself, do not fall down. Do not go to the ground, because that felt like a really bad idea.
What might have happened? They're not going to trample you.
I had the feeling that that group just might.
Nigger, kick me.
Remember, Allison Stanger's holding on to my elbow.
Don't you want niggers?
Stomp my head like niggers do.
Protect yourself. She's protecting me. She's leading. And she gets a concussion and strained tendons when somebody bangs into her from one direction and somebody had grabbed onto her hair from another direction. So for her, it was no fun at all.
And so just real quick, Giuseppe, go ahead and stop it for a moment. So, you know, it's interesting. We're going to, I'm not sure how much more long it takes here, but yeah, we're going to get to a point where, and this is what I wanted everybody to see and hear, and we go a little bit longer, where he basically says that, of course, even though it's factually true, okay, what the work that he did, it doesn't really matter. Okay. In other words, I think he actually even uses the term, so what, a little bit later on. In other words, why make the big deal? You know, these are just the facts academically I'm pointing out, but you know, it's not really that important. It was so disgusting. Like, what a weak white man.
Hey, their soul IQ is just as high as whites.
Oh my God. Their potential, right? But I think it's instructive, as you know, this is in Vermont, a mostly white audience, and they're chanting, Charles Murray, go away, racist, sexist, anti-gay. And I'm thinking, okay, checks all the boxes here. Okay. Right. I mean, that's it. He should be president. But of course, we need a man who would not be shy about saying, okay, checks.
God, go ahead. Sorry.
I just heard some bounce back there.
Yeah, I fixed it.
Yeah. No, anyway, you guys got the point. The idea that he would be in danger from all these faggots, what I would love to see happen, of course, it's just like a fantasy, is waiting for that mob when Charles Murray goes to leave and they got to escort him with guards to get to a car. Waiting for that mob is a bunch of angry skinheads, okay, whose maybe average IQ is about 95 and they've had a few beers. You like that one, Giuseppe?
Yeah, back to the Linder White Army. That would work.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Hitler was immediately attacked when he started making points outside from almost day one. So when our people are attacked, they just retreat and they give up. That's what conservatives do. Murray wrote that with a Jew, and also Murray is more or less a neocon. Mm-hmm. The racial IQ stuff, yeah, that's solid. But, I mean, that's what I was joking. Your eyes tell you. You already know that if you pay attention to the world, that races differ a lot more than skin color.
Right.
Don't you have John Stossel wondering, like, what were they going to do to you? That's so weird.
Well, I mean, yeah, he knows what he's doing. But there, Middlebury's not even a particularly dumb college. It's more toward the higher end. But, you know, you still have these females that belong in their back producing babies, wasting their time in college, building up debt and learning stuff that's not true and having their emotions riled up by these fucking Jew Marxists.
Yeah.
That's what you're seeing there. It's utterly absurd. It's a dark age characteristic.
It really is, as Lothrop Stoddard said in his book, The Rise of the Underman, where, you know, he talked about these exact things, that the dark racist burgeoning population is indeed the existential threat. The only problem that we have amongst our own kind, if we had just an all-white society, we'd be all right. But we have the whites amongst us that can't see this and think it's a good idea that we help, that we promote, that we raise the standard of living for all these browns and blacks, which they're not capable of doing it themselves. And this is a disgusting thing about guys like Charles Murray, an academic who points out these things, but then later on essentially says, well, it's really not that important, but yet he'll talk about fast twitch muscle and sprinting. I mean, it's really, it's like, what is wrong with people that they can't recognize it's okay that there's mental or intellectual differences, just like there's differences between the other physiological manifestations of the body. I mean, some people are great athletes, some people are not, right? Some people are good at one sport, good at another, right? Why can't white people be smarter, right? It's just, it's forbidden. It's absolutely forbidden.
Well, that's because they've not heard the allegory of the hammer, which, you know, is if you give a Chinaman a hammer, he makes 100 hammers and doesn't pay you If you hand a white man a hammer, he builds you a civilization. If you hand a nigger a hammer, he beats Whitey over the head with it and rapes his women. And if you hand a Jew a hammer, he hands it to the nigger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
That's right.
I just want to interject quickly with seeing those young white, literally driven mad by the kike. Again, getting back to poisoning the spirit, poisoning the body, with the bisphenol A and the spaghetti-o liners because the latchkey kids and poisoning the body, mind, and spirit, poisoning the spirit with all this kumbaya kami nonsense that, we gotta love everybody and you know what? The only way you can achieve a high trust society is if everybody plays by the same rules. And typically you can only have a high trust society if the population is homogenous. All whites are all whatever.
And, yeah.
You know, the greatest gift we can give everyone instead of democracy is self-determination. Like, okay, all you angry blacks and Alex was so right with, those young white women should be on their backs, having lots of babies but they're literally been driven mad because instead of training their mind to use logic, the kike, poisons their feelings and gets them to become violent. And oh my God, you know, how can it be a white society, even though your grandparents thrived 40, 50 years ago in white America up to the 1970s, which was 90% white or close. So,
and many of our ancestors did battle to see to it that we had a white society. That's the thing that disgusts me, and that these people they go to college now to be made to feel sorry for all these other races in other places, to be made to feel that what they've done, our ancestors have done in the past, has been so wrong. We're imperialists. We're colonists.
Let me interject a real story. I'm the oldest of five, and my brother is 13 months younger, and he's a great guy. He's provided well for his family. He's done everything, paid for his kids to go to University of Wisconsin in Madison, which is not cheap. And they come back and they're lecturing my brother and my sister-in-law about, and my brother told me this story, they're lecturing their parents about critical race theory. And I'm like, Tommy, why didn't you slap him in the face and tell him that, you know, you don't want to hear that shit. You paid for everything and this is how you thank me. And my brother said, you know, my wife almost did. I've never seen her so angry. And so that's the issue, man, of the state, the kike controlled state at every level, trying to subvert the control of the parents and the family unit. And all of a sudden you're kumbaya commies. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to pay for that all in the public schools.
People preach
something like that, whether it's called it or not.
You notice, you're going to say something, Davis? You notice Murray what?
This is what bothers me about this guy, where he does all this excellent research, but the conclusions, you almost need to rip his final chapter out of his books. Because this business about, now, I'm not thrilled about social welfare going to certain people. I would love it if it all went to only white people. But that's not the world we live in. So living in reality is really important. And reality is that about $65 billion is spent on traditional social welfare programs. And sure, that means we're getting the bloated pear-shaped Negress pulling in all kinds of cash from your government. That's true. However, $132 billion is spent on corporate subsidies. And somehow, it never strikes Charles Murray here to be like, oh, well, those corporate subsidies, you know, letting Amazon ruin all of our roads without paying a dime in taxes, that is enabling their reliance upon the government. You know, we don't get that argument. So it's just really disgusting.
You want to play a few minutes more, Giuseppe, see what happens? A couple minutes, maybe?
Absolutely. Here we go.
To the term because of the concussion.
They're that angry at you because you're perpetuating racism.
These kids have never read a word of anything I'd ever written. So it's
that's an important point.
End up phenomenon that also hit a lot of other people on the right who tried to talk at colleges. My wife's theory, and I think she's right, is this is they want a way to get at Trump, and anybody on the right is sort of their way of expressing their anger at what's going on. So I'm not at all sure it was specifically focused on the work of Charles Murray. I think it's Charles Murray as portrayed by the Southern Poverty Law Center that they were going after.
The Southern Poverty Law Center calls you a white nationalist.
Yeah, they call almost anybody a white nationalist who they don't like. That outfit is so sleazy.
They say, you say white men are intellectually, psychologically, and morally superior.
I've never said that.
Of course they are.
Remotely
That's
like that.
True.
And once I had what I called editing my Southern Poverty Law Center material, and I went through and I copy edited it all and with comments about, you really got to take out this because I never said it. Or in other cases, they have a quote and I say, well, yeah, that quote I said, but here are the next three sentences you left out. Of course, nobody ever really reads that kind of thing. I put it on the AEI website. But the fact is that you have people at the Southern Poverty Law Center who are willing to lie and pull out of context, and they would be laughable, except they get...
Gee, a Jew lies? That's crazy.
The kids read what the Southern Poverty Law Center writes?
You know, I'd like to have a better grip on who it is that communicates all this stuff. But obviously, about a variety of people, and I'm one of them, the caption for me is, he believes... blacks are genetically inferior to whites. The students, they don't feel any obligation to investigate this. They just take it as...
Do you believe that blacks are intellectually inferior?
Bridle at the word inferior.
Here we go.
What do I believe? In the same sense that I believe the Battle of Gettysburg occurred, it is that if you give mental tests to a representative sample of whites and a representative sample of blacks, that there will be about a one standard deviation difference, which amounts to about 15 IQ points.
Here we go. Scores.
To then translate that into people being inferior and superior is idiotic. Are you really under the impression that someone who has an IQ that's 20 points lower than yours feels inferior to you? I know lots of
people. That's not the point, but go on.
You just shifted the feelings.
I'm sure.
Exactly.
Of two things. One, they can do all sorts of things that are really important to my life that I can't do, such as fix the plumbing, get my
right. Like this guy couldn't fix his plumbing if he wanted to.
Weren't around. The second thing is, I am quite confident that they don't look at me and think that they are inferior to me in any way. I am somewhat different than them in my skill set and in my lifestyle and things like that. So what?
So what? That's the key line. It goes on like this. You can stop it if you want, Giuseppe.
Yeah, he's just being disingenuous.
But see, this is the thing, and it goes on a while on this theme where he basically is just more or less saying it doesn't really matter. In other words, I wrote these books. This is what the data shows, okay? And he actually will go on a little bit later to defend the test because he said there's no doubt people have attacked the nature of the tests and how accurate they are and what they mean, and he says that all these tests have been rigorously and academically defended and vetted, and that they are real, they do work, and they do signify something. But then in the end, he just goes away to dismiss it like it's nothing. It would be like, you know, again, using a basketball analogy, because Giuseppe and I, we know a little bit about it, and we've talked about it. You know, it does matter, okay? It'd be like putting these people on the basketball court on a team, but they can't get off their own shot. They can't pass the ball effectively in an assist, and they can't defend. Well, then, do they really deserve to be on the court, and are we really going to call them a member of the team? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And the thing that drives me crazy about weaklings like Charles Murray is he compiles all this accurate data, and he does all this work, and then he backs off because he doesn't want to hurt people's feelings. And he actually, later on, they will talk about something like the 100-yard dash. Now, that's okay. It's obvious who we see wins the 100-yard dash all the time. But we can't talk about the fact that whites are the only ones, by the way, not the Asians. The Asians didn't have what we had in Europe. And they look, every high-rise building that you see above several stories that's made of steel and concrete is because of white people. It has plumbing and electricity and sewer systems. This is all something that white people thought up and did. And there isn't any way that these other races are going to do us. So just the fact that you can go to any country in the world, be it a third world country or a first world country, and see the hallmarks of white inventiveness everywhere, and that none of these other people are capable. But we're supposed to believe by our Jewish-dominated media and our Jewish government that they can cram all these blacks, all these browns, and all these Asians in our country and tell us, oh, you're just the latest American. Thank you very much. Here's the Constitution. Go over there and take a shit in the toilet and flush it. Don't worry. We'll process it for you. And by the way, go to the store, buy what you want, eat what you want, and take more shits in the sewage system that we've already constructed here. Because in India, they're fucking shitting on the sands of the riverbank, and they're shitting in the bushes. And, oh, I can just go on. I'm fucking pissed. All right, I'm done for the moment.
What I want to know is, what the hell is Charles Murray's wife eating that she's clogging the toilet?
Oh, God.
So anyway, Davis Lerman, you wanted to I have a clip that shows point blank the difference between whites going to an amusement park and blacks to see the differences. But go ahead, you have a thought on.
Yes, before we let saw the video pop up, so I said, oh, before we leave Charles Murray, just want to beat him up a little bit more. So you notice what Murray did with the bell curve? This happens in academia a lot. Murray, quote unquote, co-authored with Richard Herrnstein. And he decided this was a good academic move because I'll get a Jew to co-author my racist book and then no one can pick on me. What happened to that plan, Charles? How come that didn't work out? Weird. Really weird, Charles, how there's a double standard. Notice no one's attacking Richard Herrnstein. You notice that? There's ABL Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, you're right. He kicked the bucket at some point, I think. I wonder if how much he did in that book.
He did nothing.
It was all Murray, but Murray showed, as you're saying, Murray showed low character. Look, if I come in 2 seconds behind you in a 100-yard dash, you damn better believe you're going to describe that I'm an inferior runner to you.
There you go. So exactly.
Zero doubt. So look, hey, all I've done is given you an intellectual, backed, solid science explanation of why the USA is falling apart. If you don't want to handle it or you want to stick an adjective on it, you go right ahead. But I've done the work. This is right. This is why your country is being destroyed, because you're pretending that this sort of science and thing isn't real when it is. That's how he should have handled it. But
and on what Paul said, by the way, we obviously need some culturally sensitive instruction, they call it. We need to be taken to the camps, and we need to be taught that, Paul, it is part of black culture to bury the dead bodies of your relatives right on the riverbank where you drink, and it's also part of black culture to literally shit where you eat. They shit where they eat, and then they wonder why they get sick.
Yeah.
Well, look, why can't he take the book and you know, say, look, you can cry all you want and you can bash my head in, but this and this book right here is true. And until you can come up with some other science proving it's not true, it absolutely stands, and you can't do that. I've done the work.
I'm going to applaud right there. I don't know if you can hear it, but exactly the point. That was said in exactly the tone and the way it should be said. It's like, hey, the bottom line is it's all absolutely true. It's observable in real life. It's observable in society.
Remember what Hitler said. Truth will only survive if it's like next to a gladiator. Well, he did the truth. He did the work, the beautiful part. Well, God damn it, defend it. That's part of finding the truth. Get it out there. Market it. Defend it.
Right.
He's not the type.
Cool question. I've never heard that in particular. Did he say that in Mein Kampf or something?
I think so, but I'm not absolutely positive. He didn't use the word gladiator, but he effectively said that. I'm paraphrasing him, but that's what he said. Yeah, the truth will survive, but it will only have effect or it'll only make it in the world when it's standing next to someone willing to fight for it.
And by the way,
right there, we see the divorce because Murray is not willing to fight for the
And here's the other thing that these vile Jews do with their, you know, their brainwashing and their screwing, as Giuseppe basically says, the moral poisoning of our minds, is they destroy your ability to think normally, okay, or to think rationally. And I've experienced this in my real life. I first became aware of these sorts of things starting probably in the early to mid 90s. Yeah. And giving my brother credit, he brought me up on board along this all this academic performance crap, you know. And this is right after the famous Alan Bakke case here in California, where he sued the University of California because he was denied entrance to the medical school despite scoring in the 90th percentile or above in all categories. And what he found out was that there was a black admitted to the same medical school that scored in the 50th percentile. And so he was pissed. So this was the first so-called, you know, affirmative action lawsuit of its kind, and it was fairly well known. Well, what my brother pointed out to me at the time is, and I remember this phrase, okay, is despite ever-increasing per-pupil spending in all the various school districts, that the test scores were not improving as a result, okay, meaning that you can't throw all kinds of money at a problem and think it's going to be solved if the problem is racial or genetic. And still, to this day, people don't want to hear it, but I knew this back in the 90s. The greatest single indicator or predictor of academic success is race. In other words, it's not socioeconomic, right? It's not the educational level of your parents or any of that other stuff. The best indicator in terms of not just correlation, but actual causation is race. Whites and Asians do better. And blacks and browns do not. And I still remember to this day, but white people will not even, you know, want to know the facts. And I can't remember how many discussions I had, but this one particular woman who was a school teacher, and I believe she may have been a client of mine, very nice. You know, a lot of these white people are nice, but they're just naive beyond belief. And she actually said to me with this kind of a sheepish grin, because she didn't want to embrace what I was telling her. She says, well, it's kind of true. They don't test well.
Asylum with Giuseppe the G. Man.